Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking, I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Hello, everyone. I'm C.P. Leslie, the host of New Books in Historical Fiction. Today I'm speaking with Ursula Le Cour about The Devious Debutante, the third novel in a series set in 1880s New Orleans. Ursula Le Cour is the pen name of the mother-daughter writing team, Mary and Helen Scully. So in a first for New Books in Historical Fiction, I will be speaking with both of them together. The series begins in 1884, New Orleans' golden age, but all is not well in the city. Cost overruns and delays at the construction for the World's Industrial and Cotton Exposition seem to presage the Sochi Olympics and their potential for scandal, and rumors of embezzlement threaten to implicate the most prestigious families. By 1885, when The Devious Debutante opens, the exposition's problems have faded into insignificance next to the opium trade, which, thanks to a recent rise in import duties, has led to increased smuggling. But we don't discover that for a while. At the beginning, we meet Ben Merritt, in the midst of an unexpected encounter. New Orleans, December 1885. Ben Merritt scanned the large Collins property. His eyes darted from left to right and back again. What's that? It was. A figure appeared in the garden to the left of the enormous stone house. Someone walking fast, actually running, in a skirt. Watching her race through a line of bushes and across the broad lawn toward the open front gate, he anticipated her path and turned just in time to catch the full brunt of her head and shoulders against his chest. He wrapped his arms around her as she fell backwards from the impact. Stunned, she wriggled free of his arms, sniffed and brushed her hair off her face, wiping her wet cheeks with the same motion. "I beg your pardon." Ben bowed and tipped his cap to the most beautiful young lady he'd ever seen.